young girl weeps in a far distant land. She has no one to show her God's love, no mother or father to wipe away her tears. She cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart.
A mother grieves for her starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. Earthly provisions will ease their suffering, but who will feed their empty souls?
Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll give the gospel to these suffering ones. I'll go wherever you want me to go.
Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23 this morning. Luke chapter 23, we're going to start reading at verse 33 and read to verse 39, 33 through 39 in chapter 23. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found your place, would you, if you're able, stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together, please. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Let's pray together. Father, this is a very sobering passage in the Word of God, but very important. And Lord, so we ask that you would take this scripture this morning and use it to help us. Give us what we need from heaven today. Father, I pray for our pastor as he comes, you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for that task. And God, if there's somebody listening on the internet or even in this room this morning that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, let me ask you to check your cell phone and make sure it is turned off. We do not want it to go off during the service. You know what happens here. We drag you outside and beat you with a whip. And so please turn your phone off. So I'm pretty sure. Don't be sure. Just turn it off. I want you to sit and listen for a few moments. You know, Jesus was crucified. We're way too casual about that. Those who know, you know, the world knows that Jesus was crucified. It's in art. It's in symbols. A lot of churches, they put him up on the cross and leave him there. He shouldn't do that. He was there, but he's not there anymore. But wait a minute. When we read that in Luke 23, where it says, and they took him to that place, and there they crucified him. It's in all the Gospels. And we know it. We know Jesus Christ was crucified. We know it was one of the more common forms of capital punishment in the Roman days. The Romans did not invent crucifixion. They took it from other cultures before them and perfected it to make sure it had the absolute maximum degree of suffering to it. You see, nailing someone to a cross does not kill them. Then they hang them by their body weight. They have to pull themselves up for every breath that they take with nails driven through their hands and through their feet. Sometimes people would live 2 or 3 days on a cross before they'd succumb. So they beat them so they'd lose blood and strength. It's meant to be not just execution. It's meant to be torture as well as execution. And their families had to sit at the foot of the cross of the one being executed. And people would go by. People would bring lunches and sit and have lunch and talk and watch people suffer and die. 33,000 people were crucified during the lifetime of Jesus in the area where Jesus lived. He lived to be 33 years of old. That's 1,000 a year. That's 20 a week. It became really common to them. Look at me. It's pretty common to us too, isn't it? And there they crucified him. Do you ever think about it? And we know why Jesus was crucified. Because the government, no. We know why he was crucified because the Jewish religion of the day, no. I was thinking about that these last few days, and I was thinking about the nails driven through his hands and through his feet. You know they're not mentioned in any account of the crucifixion in the Bible. Nails are not even mentioned until you get to John chapter 20. When Doubting Thomas, Jesus has risen from the dead and the disciples are in the upper room. And Doubting Thomas shows up and Jesus had appeared to the disciples in his resurrection body. And they said, you should have been here. Jesus was here. And he said, I won't believe it until I touch the print of the nails in his hands and his feet. That's the first time the nails are actually mentioned in anywhere of the Gospels. But we know that, well, turn over one page from Luke 23 to Luke 24 and look at this statement made by Jesus in his resurrection body when he appeared to his disciples. It's in that upper room moment. Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 36. He's appeared to them in his resurrection body. He's in this upper room. This is Luke's account of it. And as they spake, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do the thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see that a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. He said, look, fellas. But these are disciples now who Jesus had told he would rise from the dead. He says, look. And he put his hands out and then he showed them his feet. He said, look, see where they drove the nails? See, Say, yeah, well, he was nailed to a cross, ladies and gentlemen. And there they crucified him. I was thinking about those nails. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts on the nails this morning, and then we'll go home. You notice that they put nails in his hands. Now, they put him on a cross, stretched his arms out like this. When they nailed people to the cross in those days, they would first tie their arms to the cross. Because you see, if someone's taking a nail and they're driving it down through your flesh, you're not going to hold still. Or a soldier would just step on his arm and then another guy would drive the nails in through his hands. Usually they tied their arms, drove the nails through, then took the rope off so they could have to hang by the weight. They put nails in his hands. And it says back in Luke chapter 23, would you notice when they crucified him there, it says in verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors. Look, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Look here. So his hands are nailed to a cross. Right hand, thief. Left hand, thief. Down a few verses, one of those thieves would turn to Jesus and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The other thief died railing on Jesus, saying, go ahead, take the nails out, come on, take them out. All these people down here saying, come off the cross, you get us too. One man would come to him, one man would not. And Jesus' hands are extended to both, showing that, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, for you Calvinists out there this morning, it shows you Jesus died for both people. He died for the lost man, he died for the man who would not trust Christ, and he died for the man who would. But Jesus, he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for everybody's sins, and he's extending those nailed hands to one who would reject him and one who would accept him. You know, I read it down those few verses. Which one was it? Was it the guy who accepted him on the right and the guy rejected him on the left? It doesn't say, because you both start out in the same condition. Needing the same Savior, coming to the same Savior, whose hands are extended the same Savior, to the same people, lost or saved, but you must come to Christ. Those nailed hands, ladies and gentlemen, extended out to anyone and everyone. That's that whosoever stuff in the Bible. That's a wonderful statement in the Bible. Wonderful word means whosoever. Look it up sometime. Here's what it means. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place, any condition, any situation, any level, any society, any culture, any religion, any place, anyone, anywhere, anytime, whosoever. Those nailed hands are the whosoever for everybody. Whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those hands are extended still today, 2,022 years later. Jesus' hands are still extended, and people can come to Christ today. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, see, we got to get our lives right and get in order and get baptized and join the church and live a good life and do the do's and don't the don'ts. That man who came to Christ, he didn't have time for that. All he had time to do was look in faith to the Savior. That was all. That was all he could do, was just look to the Savior and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus didn't tell him to reform. He didn't tell him to get right. He didn't tell him to try it. He didn't tell him to work on it. He just said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, I'm thankful for instantaneous salvation. The moment you trust Christ, you have eternal life. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to hope for it. You don't have to hold on to it. And you don't have to hold out faithful to the end to get it or to keep it. You trust Christ, you get saved. Then there are those, and he has extended his hand to them. And they're like that crowd down there saying, yeah, if you're really the Son of God. Now look at me. That crowd down there, they're listening to Jesus. That's the same crowd he fed when he broke loaves and fishes. Same crowd was at Lazarus' grave when he said, Lazarus, come forth. Same crowd who saw the disciples leaving a ship and Jesus on the shore. Then they got on ships, went to the other shore, and Jesus was on the other shore, and it wasn't Uber. Same crowd that heard him speak like never man spake. Same crowd is now saying, if you're really the Son of God. Yet his hands are still there, extended to even those who reject him. You say, well, what good does it do him, Pastor Johnson? It means you go to hell over the love of God. You go to hell over a Savior who loved you and was willing to extend his hand to you. There isn't any reason for it. There just isn't. There's no reason for a person to delay or put. That's why the Bible said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's no reason for a person to delay or to put off coming to Christ and getting saved. There's no reason for it. He's already done it. He's extended himself for you. And you just come to Christ and get saved. And the wonderful thing about it is you come to Christ to get saved. You don't come to religion. You don't come to yourself. You don't come to philosophy. You come to Jesus and you get saved. But would you notice these nails did not put Jesus on the cross? Well, yeah, there was judgments, and he went to Pilate, and he went to Herod, and he went back and forth. There were 7 different judgments in less than 24 hours where they declared him innocent but guilty, and the Roman government crucified him. No. That isn't what nailed Jesus to the cross. What nailed Jesus to the cross was the religious crowd of his day that rejected him, would not embrace who. No, it wasn't them either. It was not nails that put Jesus on the cross. It was your sin and mine. That's why, Christian, look at me. Say, well, I already trusted Christ. I got saved. Now, look at me. Look at me. That's why you can't be casual about sin. That same Savior you so willingly accepted as your Savior, that same Savior, it was our sin that drove those nails through that perfect flesh of his. That's not what put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't nails. It was the requirement of the payment of a perfect, innocent Lamb of God. It was the judgment of a almighty God on his own son, Isaiah chapter 53. It was the fact that our sin had to have a payment, and the payment had to be a perfect, sinless person who walked this earth, and there's only been one. I still remember we used to go to the Great Lakes Navy Base in North Chicago when we were Bible college, and Brother Evans and I were in school then at the time going there. And we used to go to a huge VA hospital in North Chicago, still there, I believe. It was so massive in its scope that the buildings were connected by hallways so long that if you stood in the end of one hallway, you couldn't see the other end. It was that far. They rode golf carts between the buildings because it took so long to get from one building to the other building. And in that VA hospital in North Chicago were people of every kind you could think of. Most of them were mental patients. Some of them were tortured in World War II, and they just tortured till they had completely gone insane. They had them in a little separate building. They had to put mitts on them because they put everything in their mouth, and they were completely out of their mind. There was another building just like that with men who were tortured by the Viet Cong in Southeast Asia during Vietnam War, and same thing had happened to them. Then there was a 4 or 5 story nursing home where older vets could go and get medical care and taken care of. And then there were all these grounds around it with bushes and trees and things. And so we'd walk from one building to the other and visit patients, all kinds. I still remember going into one building one day. And all the other buildings, there was the noise of nurses and people talking and everything. This place, dead silent. There's about 12, 15 men who were in a comatose condition and just lay in their beds. And we went around and visited every one of them. No recognition, no acknowledgement. I was walking out of a building one day, and one of the guys we were with, Keith Gomez, was sitting there talking to a guy. And the guy had glasses about that thick, and he was puffing on a little cigar. And as I walked by, I said, "Hey, Coon, how you doing?" He goes, "Good." "Hey, Mike, come here, man." He goes, "I want you to meet this guy right here." He goes, "See that guy right there?" He told me he had never sinned in his life. The guy goes, "That's right. Never sinned one blankety blank time in my life." Now, what he told me, should I tell him what he told him? A squirrel crawled on and lay him over the top of this guy's head. Gomez goes, "You know what, sir, if that squirrel went to the bathroom on your head, you'd cuss, then I'd know you'd realize you're a sinner. I could lead you to Christ." That's a different way of getting to the Romans road, I think. But those people who look at what Jesus did for us, look at me, and we just think sin's a game. It's all funny. It's a big joke. That's what nailed him to the cross. That's what put him up there. My sin, your sin. That's why we can't be casual about the cross, about the crucifixion. And they crucified him there. He did that in my place. I put him there. So it's not about Rome. It's not about Jews. It's not about religion. It's not about, it's about me. Mike Johnson. It's like I put one of those nails in his hands and stood there with a hammer and drove him through that perfect flesh. So it wasn't nails that put him on the cross. By the way, it wasn't nails that kept him there either. They howled at him. They spit on him. They made fun of him. Come on down off the cross. Another thief. Come on, get off the cross here and take us with you while you're at it, would you please? Everyone's railing on him. You know, the old song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he died alone for you and for me. It wasn't nails that kept him up there. It was his love for you that kept him up there and his love for me. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Commend means to put an open display. See, Jesus, it was his love for you that went there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Wasn't rusty nails that kept him on the cross. It was the fact that he loved you. And he was, look at me, he was willing to go that far, that distance, that much, in that disgrace, in that way, simply because he loves you. And he was willing to do that, my friend, because it was God's will for him to do that. And he was willing to stay there until it was done. Christian, hey, look at me. Think about that next time when you think it's we're being nailed in life. Boy, I got nailed. Next time you think about how difficult it is for you to go through the stuff God has you to go in your life, you think about that next time, would you? He was willing to do that. They stripped him naked, beat him like an animal, and then nailed him to the cross like a piece of meat. But he was willing to stay there. It didn't keep him up there, those nails. No, his love for you kept him up there. The justice that Jesus was going to give you because you trusted Christ kept him up there. The fact that Jesus was willing to stay on the cross and do what was necessary. Oh, he didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. And it was not the nails that would hold him on the cross either. You see, it wasn't until he made the full payment. And when Jesus said, it is finished, telestai, completed, transaction done. He said it up to Heavenly Father. Father looking down, Isaiah 53, was pleased by the sacrifice of his son. Telestai, payment made, transaction finished. Father accepted the payment of the son. Telestai, down to mankind, tell all these religions, tell all these good doers out there, just do good, but realize you must come to Christ to be saved. Transaction's done. Stop your work, stop your religion, stop your stuff for trying to get to heaven. The price is paid. Jesus paid it all. They didn't take out the nails until he was dead. And after that, see, then the payment was made and it was finished. So the nails didn't hold him on the cross. He stayed until the full payment was made. Remember that now. Next time you think, well, you know, I trusted Christ, but if I don't live right, then go look up there and see him there and say, yeah, that wasn't enough, because that's what you're saying. I'm tired of people who say, well, eternal security is a different doctrine for some people. You look at me. Do you realize what you're doing when you say that's not enough? What Jesus did was not enough. It was okay, but it's not enough. I have to do something now as a part of that in order for me to have salvation. Yeah, I can trust Christ, but then I got to do good. No. When he died, he made a full payment. It was done. Bible says Isaiah 53, the Father would look down and be satisfied with the suffering of his son. Notice his suffering, not mine. Notice his suffering, not ours. Notice his suffering, what Jesus did. The Father would be satisfied with that, and he was. By the way, 2,000 years later, he still is. Jesus made a full sacrificial gift of himself and his life when he died on the cross. That's the full payment of salvation. That's why when anybody trusts Christ, they get salvation full and free. It's complete. The nails would be pulled out. Joseph of Arimathea would go to the ruler of the day, Pilate, get his body. They'd take the cross and lower it down. And then they would have to pull the nails out of his feet and pull the nails out of his hand. Lay a linen cloth that was pure and clean, 100-pound weight of spices there, and lays Jesus' body. And then to wrap him up in that and take his body off to a tomb. There are places you can go today in this world that say they have the nails that went through his hand. There was a museum in Austria and Germany when Hitler took power that said they had this spear that was thrust into his side. And Hitler went there all night, one night in that museum, and prayed for the power that crucified Jesus to come upon him. But there are no nails. There's no spear. There's no crown of thorns. All those would be artifacts that people would hold as some kind of religious. But see, here's what we do have. We have a living Savior. Now, they took those nails out of his hands, wrapped him in that cloth, and laid him in a tomb. 3 days and three nights later, he punched a hole through death and rose from the dead. And that's what we have. We don't have an artifact. We have a living Savior. We have a risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ who conquered death, is now waiting at heaven for the word for the Father to say, come back and get him now, and return and straighten everything out. You know those nails. I know it's just a simple thing of the cross. I know that. But ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand? There's something here that God wants us to get a hold of, that he loves you. That's what you want to get a hold of. That my sin put him up there. He wants you to get a hold of that. He was willing to go that far to do what God wanted him to do. He wants us to get that in our thinking. If that's what he would do, to go that far to do God's will for his life, then I will go that far to do what God wants me to do with my life. It's not too much. He's not asking too much. It's not an inconvenience on my life. I need to do what God put me on this earth to do. And they crucified him there. Stand to your feet, please, this morning.